verse that I want to focus on, there are some other thoughts that I may draw out of the chapter momentarily, but the verse that I want to focus on is in verse 8, where the Bible reads, "Better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof, and the patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit." What I want to talk about this morning is not quitting, finishing what you start. The Bible says that the end of something is better than the beginning. It even goes so far as to say in verse number 1, a good name is better than precious ointment, and the day of death than the day of one's birth. Even when it comes to your life, he says it's better to come to the end of your life than to be starting your life. You see, finishing a task brings great satisfaction and great joy and gratification. And many people start so many things and then they don't finish. And sometimes it even makes people sad and depressed because they have so many things that they've started and they can't finish things, because it brings a great sense of accomplishment when you finish something. And we should get ourselves in the habit of finishing what we start and not have, as a part of our character, be a person who always starts things. Do you ever play a board game with somebody and they don't want to finish the game? You know, you get into a board game, it's a long game, like let's say Monopoly or Risk, or what's another really long game? What is it? Chess or something, you know. Well, okay, if you're playing against me, it won't take long. Anyway, yeah, chess can go long. You know, a long game, and people will just say, you know, I'm bored of this game. Let's just quit playing game, and you're, no! You know, and then you try to save the board, and you put it up on the fridge. You're not going to be able to come back to it. You've got to finish it. And it can be frustrating when people won't finish things. And there are so many times in our life where we start things, and we don't finish. It's a lot easier to start something than it is to finish. For example, whenever you're looking at buying something, like, I've noticed that when you're buying like a foreign language course, or, you know, lesson one has been sold like 5 million times. Lesson two has been sold a lot less, and, you know, you got a special order lesson four because it's so rare that anybody finishes and gets it. I mean, everybody's probably read Genesis chapter 1 probably 100 times because they kept starting to read the whole Bible. And they've all read the book of Matthew, and they've all read the book of Genesis, but have you read Malachi? Have you read Revelation? Did you finish the job? Have you finished reading the entire Bible cover to cover? Have you finished all 66 books? And so we don't want to be the type of people who start something and don't finish it. Finish it. Finish your food when you eat. The Bible says, "He that is slothful in his work is brother to him that is a great waster." We used to go to our grandparents' house, and there'd be cans of Coke, and it was like a paradise when we would go to my grandparents' house, because there were all these little apple juices. You know those little Martinellis where the bottle is shaped like an apple? There were all these sodas and apple juices, and we could have as many as we want, but as long as we finished it, we would be punished if we would start a soda and leave it. And they said, "You can drink 5 of them, drink 10 of them, but it must be finished. You must finish the can. You must drink it all." And that's a good lesson that we were being taught, to finish things. Let's look at this in the Bible. Look at Luke chapter 14. Luke chapter number 14. There are so many places in the Bible that talk about this. But go to Luke 14. While you're turning there, I'll read for you from Luke chapter 9, verse 62. It says, "And Jesus said unto him, No man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God." That doesn't mean that you're not saved. A lot of people try to pervert this and corrupt this and say, you know, you got to endure to the end to be saved. No, that's talking about the tribulation. Get that into context. That's Matthew 24. It has nothing to do with going to heaven or hell. It's talking about your flesh being saved, and that's what it says. No flesh would be saved. But the Bible says, "No man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God." You know, you might be saved, but you're not fit. And the Bible is teaching that when you start the job of serving God, when you put your hand to the plow, because by the way, serving God is hard work. Like pushing or pulling a plow is very hard work. And that farming illustration is used a lot about winning souls to Christ, preaching the gospel to every creature, sowing the seeds of the Word of God, watering those seeds, reaping the harvest. And so when we put our hand to the plow, God is telling us, don't look back. Don't even think about quitting. Don't even look back and decide whether you want to quit. Just keep going and finish what you start. Look at Luke 14, 28. It says, "For which of you, intending to build a tower, sit not down first and count the cost, whether ye have sufficient to finish it. I mean, imagine you're going to build something, and you don't count up how much the materials are going to cost, and you only have a certain amount of money, and you buy like half the materials, and you lay the foundations, and you build the walls, but you just don't have enough to finish the roof. Basically, now your whole project is a waste. And so he says it'd be foolish to build a tower without figuring out first whether you have the money and the time and the resources to finish it and to build the whole thing. And it says in verse 29, lest haply, if after he had laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king goeth to make war against another king, sitteth not down first and consulteth whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth an ambassage and desireth conditions of peace. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. You see, it costs something to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. Being saved is free. The gift of God's eternal life through Jesus Christ. But if you're going to be a disciple of Jesus Christ, remember, Jesus Christ had thousands and thousands of people who he preached to that got saved and baptized by John the Baptist, baptized by his apostles. But he only had very few disciples that followed him wherever he went, that were really the ones who were doing the work. He said, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. He only had very few laborers, because serving God, being a disciple, is hard work. And God tells us that it's going to cost us something, and that we need to put our hand to that plow and decide we're going to serve God with our lives and never look back. Don't quit. How many people used to go soul winning? You know, I'm not asking for a raise of hands. How many people, I used to go soul winning back in the day, back then. Quit living in the past. Go soul winning now. Don't be the guy who is living in his glory days. And the Bible says forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Don't glory in the past. Don't glory in all the things you did a long time ago. That just makes you a quitter. Put your hand to the plow and don't look back and serve God. Don't used to have read your Bible. I used to pray. I used to go to church. I used to be free to thrive. Now I'm a Sunday morning glory. You know, don't be a quitter. Put your hand to the plow and work hard and run the race all the way to the finish line. And don't expect it to be easy. Jesus is just flat out telling you, well, some of you can't even be my disciple because you're going to quit, because you haven't counted the cost, because you don't realize that it's not always going to be a walk in the park. It's not always going to be a bowl of cherries. And therefore, some of you should probably not even start, he's saying. I mean, that's what Jesus said. I didn't say that. I probably wouldn't have said it that way. But you know, Jesus Christ did say it that way. He said, get in it for the long haul or get out. He said, put your hand to the plow and don't look back. Look, if you would, at John chapter 4. You see, this is a theme. This is a theme with Jesus, and well, it's a theme throughout the Bible, but Jesus talked about this a lot. Especially in the book of John is when he talked about it the most. And you'll find different themes. Like, you'll find different themes in Matthew. Mark kind of has a different theme. Luke has a different theme. God's showing us different things. Well, this is a theme of the book of John. You remember the famous statement that Jesus made when he was on the cross, when he said, it is finished? That's found in the book of John, okay? But there are some things in the book of John that build up to that statement. That statement's not recorded in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Okay, it's recorded in John because it's built up by some other statements that he made. Look at John 4:34. Jesus said unto them, my meat, they're trying to offer him food, and he says, I have meat to eat that you know not of. My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. He said, I'm doing God's will, and guess what? I'm going to finish it. Look at chapter 5, verse 36. Just one page over. But I have greater witness than that of John. For the works which the Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do bear witness of me that the Father hath sent me. So he said, the Father has given me work, and I'm going to finish it. He said it twice now. Look at John 17. John chapter number 17. This is when Jesus is praying to the Father. It says in verse 1, these words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come, glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. But look at verse 4, John 17, 4. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. This is right at the end of his ministry. He's about to die on the cross, and he says, I have finished the work that thou gavest me to do. And then, of course, in John 19:30, the famous statement in John 19:30, it says, when Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. Just interesting that the book of John just records all these statements in a row. Unlike the other Gospels, it emphasizes this one point of finishing the work that the Father had given him to do. You say, what was that? He did a lot of works. Because, you see, the interesting thing is that not only did Jesus Christ die on the cross for our sins, but he also lived a life of doing good works for 33 and a half years on this earth. He went about doing good. He had all these works that the Father had sent him to do. And, you know, if you look at those statements, he said, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. He said, I've come to seek and to save that which was lost. He was preaching the word of God. He was doing miracles. He healed people. He did all these different things. That was the work that he was supposed to be doing while he was on this earth. And he did that. Because not only when we believe on Jesus Christ, not only are our sins are basically imputed unto Jesus because he died for our sins on the cross, and our sins are not imputed unto us, but the righteousness of Jesus Christ is imputed unto us. His sinless, perfect life is imputed unto us, that we don't have our own righteousness, but the righteousness of Jesus Christ is imputed unto us, and that's how we're saved. And so, Jesus Christ, when he said, it is finished, okay, he's referring back to all these other statements he made in the book of John when he talks about all the work that he was supposed to do on this earth. He said it in John 17. He said it in John 19 that it's finished. It's funny because a lot of people try to take this verse in John 19 and this is their proof text for the fact that Jesus did not go to hell. Now, this is what's so foolish about that. First of all, it's foolish because the Bible says Jesus went to hell. Now, I know that's not very complicated, but look, keep your finger there. Go to Acts chapter 2. It's just a few pages over. In Acts chapter number 2, just a couple pages to the right in your Bible, it says in Acts chapter 2, verse 31, it says, he, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, and then he gives us the two aspects of the resurrection of Christ. It says that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. So the resurrection was Jesus' soul coming up out of hell and his body physically rising from the grave. That's what it was. You see, Jesus said as Jonas was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth, in the nether parts of the earth. The Bible also says in Ephesians chapter 4 that Jesus Christ descended first, before he ascended, he descended first into the lower parts of the earth. And so people attack that doctrine today and say that Jesus didn't go to hell. Well, then Acts 2:31 is wrong. And they'll say, well, hell doesn't really mean hell. Okay, well, what else in the Bible do you want to change while we're at it? Yeah. Oh, does heaven mean heaven? Does all mean all? Does Jesus mean Jesus? Is the cross really a cross? Does death really mean death? Does sin really mean sin? I mean, what else do you want to change while we're at it? While you're changing the King James Bible, that's the Word of God, what else do you want to change? Because every single time in this book, hell is mentioned. It's a consistent definition of what hell is. Amen. And that's what it says. And I don't know, I just believe it.
Amen.
You know what I mean? And so people try to say, well, you know, if he said it's finished, that means that he did everything that needed to be done for us to be saved. Hold it now. Hold it. He hadn't risen from the dead yet. And that is the most important part of the plan of salvation. The thing that saves us is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The gospel is the death, the burial, and the resurrection. So when he said it is finished, he had not finished everything that was needed for our salvation, because he still had to conquer hell and death and rise from the dead. Because the gospel is that Jesus died, according to the scriptures, and then he was buried, and then on the third day, he rose again. So the gospel was not complete until Jesus what? Rose again from life? No, from the dead. And so Jesus rose from the dead, but he finished the work that he had been given to do. And he says that many times there in the book of John. Go, if you would, to 2 Corinthians chapter number 8. 2 Corinthians chapter number 8. So you see, Jesus finished the work that he was given. He finished the job. I'll read for you a famous passage while you're turning there. Hebrews chapter 12, very famous passage, says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your mind." You see, as we are running the race of the Christian life, as we are running the race and enduring the affliction of serving God, we're to be looking to Jesus and thinking about his example of how he finished his race. We need to finish ourselves. You see, when we look at what he went through, it's more than anything that we're asked to go through. Most of us have never been beaten or whipped like Jesus was or the Apostle Paul. We've never been beaten 39 stripes like these guys were. These guys went through pain and affliction and suffering. Jesus Christ, of course, the author and finisher, but then also other men that, like the Apostle Paul and the other apostles, that were beaten, that suffered. And the Bible says that we should look at that endurance that they had, and we need to have the same endurance and to finish the work that God gave us to do, just as Jesus Christ finished the work that the Father gave him to do. We need to run with patience the race that is set before us. Patience. That's why the Bible said, the first verse I read you was, that the better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof, and the patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit. You see, anybody can pridefully talk about, oh, everything they're going to do. Well, one day I'm going to start a church, and I'm going to knock all these millions of doors, and I'm going to do... You know what? Great. But you know, it'll be greater when you're finishing that work. That'll be the great thing. Because many have started and were not able to finish. Many have started out serving God. They get into church. They get excited. We'll come back to 2 Corinthians. Go actually, if you would, to Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter number 4. You see, many have started. Many people that I've even seen at this church, and of course in other churches, they come to church and they get excited. Wow! You know, we're learning the Bible. It's so exciting. You know, I'm learning from the preaching. I'm going home. I'm reading the Bible on my own. I'm going through my first time cover to cover. You know, I'm already in such and such the book. And I'm growing like I've never grown. And wow, I'm out knocking doors. I'm actually preaching the gospel to somebody. I'm actually seeing people get saved. And they're excited. But then they quit. Don't tell me that's never happened. Anybody who's been in our church for a long time can tell you that that has happened. And I've grown up in many other churches. I've seen it happen my whole life. You see people get excited, and their heart's in the right place. They're legitimately reading their Bible every day like they should. They're legitimately preaching the gospel. They're legitimately cleaning the sin out of their life. They're actually praying. They're actually growing in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But they don't finish. They do it for 6 months. They do it for a year. They do it for 2 years. But they're not in it for the long haul. They're not in it for the lifetime. They quit. They fail. Look for example, at Mark chapter 4. Let me turn there myself. Mark chapter 4 is the parable of the sower. And of course, there are the different types of ground that are listed there. And the one that I want to talk about is the one that was sown in stony places. It says in verse number 16, "And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness, and have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution ariseth for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and lusts of other things entering in choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful." So there are of course the ones that were sown by the wayside. That was the person who didn't even get saved. The Bible says that the seed was sown, it fell by the wayside. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he who received seed by the wayside. So first of all, as the sower sows the word, as God's word is being preached, there are many, and of course, this parable of the sower does not include every human being on the planet. It's just talking about four different types of people. There are those who hear God's word preached, and they don't understand it. And then the devil comes and takes away what they heard so that they don't later, lest they would believe and be saved, he says. He catches it away that they not believe and be saved. But then there's the one who receives it in stony places. They receive the word of God right away. In Luke, when he tells the exact same one, he says the people in the stony places, they believe. Okay? And so they receive it right away with gladness. But as soon as persecution and tribulation come, they are offended. They fall away. You see, they're saved, but they don't stay in it long enough to bring any fruit to perfection, the Bible says. The one that is in the good ground is the one who hears the word, who keeps it, who believes it, and then keeps it, and then they are in it long enough to bring fruit to perfection. You see, when you plant a plant, you don't instantly reap a harvest the next day. I mean, you don't plant a seed, and then the next day you're picking the fruit. No, it takes time for the plant to grow. And different types of trees and plants can take years. You can plant a tree and feed it and water it for years before it brings forth any fruit. But when it does bring forth fruit, it brings forth a lot of fruit. You know, you look at an orange tree that just produces hundreds and hundreds of oranges. But for years, that tree produced nothing because it was growing. It was just starting out. It was just getting in there. And so people who aren't in it for the long haul are never going to produce the large amounts of fruit. And the Bible says, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. You see, our fruit, we should bring forth fruit that is a tree of life. The Bible says the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. So our ultimate goal, as Christians who are bringing forth fruit, is to actually bring forth fruit that will become a tree of life. That is when the cycle is complete. When I preach the gospel unto someone, and they get saved, okay, so I'm reproducing here. I'm bringing forth fruit. I'm multiplying after my own kind. And then when that person begins to bring forth fruit, now the cycle is complete. So the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. He that winneth souls is wise. When I win somebody to the Lord, and then I can teach and train them to do likewise, and then they become a tree of life, and they are producing fruit, and they are multiplying, and they are bringing forth some 30, some 60, some 100. That is when the cycle is complete. But you know what? That's not going to happen overnight. That takes a long time. That takes coming to church for years and learning and growing and reading and praying before you can honestly say and point to those who you've won to Christ and that have been baptized and that are now out winning souls for themselves. But you say, well, that's not happening for me. It takes time. You can't quit. And you can't just come to church for 6 months or a year and just try it. You know, you've got to get in there and get planted and read the Bible and reread it and reread it and grow and learn and toil. And it's going to take a lot of work and it's going to take a lot of plowing and it's going to take a lifetime. And you can't be a quitter or you're not going to bring any fruit to perfection. Perfection means completion. You're not going to bring forth the complete fruit unless you stay in it longer. And so if you're in the shallow ground, if you don't have any root in yourself, well, think about a plant that doesn't have a root. Is it going to be easy to move or hard to move? Easy. Move it around. It has no root or it has a very shallow root. I just pick it up, stick it over here. You know, one day they believe this. One day they believe something else. One day they're going to this church. Next day they're going somewhere else. Next day they're going to a different church. One day it's this. One day they're soul winning. The next day they don't believe in soul winning. And then one day they're doing this. And it's just real easy to move them around. Try moving a tree that has a huge root. It's impossible. It cannot be moved. Once a tree gets to a certain size and the roots are a certain size, it is impossible to move that tree. And that's the way we should be, unmovable, steadfast, always abounding in the work of the Lord, always abounding, in season, out of season. And so those that are having no root here, they fall away, persecution, tribulation, affliction, what times of temptation, Jesus said in another place about the same people, the stony places people.
He said, time of temptation, they'll fall away. You see, as soon as people in their family start attacking them for serving God, that's when they'll fall away. Because they don't have a strong enough root system. So people in their family start giving them a little opposition, they're going to fall away. They're going to quit. And that's what we're preaching about this morning. Quitting, not quitting. They're going to quit because people at work start giving them a bad time. People at work are attacking them. Just going to quit. Or maybe it's just not fun and exciting and new anymore. Because we live in this ADD society where everybody has attention deficit disorder. Like it's some kind of a disease when you won't just sit down and shut up and do the same thing that you're talking, you know, and just apply yourself. You know what it's called? Let me give you another word for ADD. It's called impatience. Isn't that what it's called?
That's right.
It's just being impatient. That's all it is. Attention deficit disorder. Because you want to switch from one thing to another all the time. Guess what? It's being impatient. Patience is when you can stay on the same task for an extended period of time. When you can sit down at the piano and practice your piano for hours on end, that is patience. That takes patience. But when you practice your piano for 2 minutes, and then, oh, I'm tired of this. I want to go do something else now. You're never going to become a great piano player. You're never going to go anywhere or achieve anything because you don't have the patience to apply yourself to that task. Same thing with your job. People who always have to just take breaks all the time. I need a break. And some people literally take up smoking just to get the breaks. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? It's true. People will look around and they'll see, man, the people who are smoking, they get to take more breaks. Because they're constantly going out for the cigarette, going out and taking the cigarette break. That's why I wouldn't hire somebody who smokes. It's probably against the law to discriminate or something. But I wouldn't want to hire somebody who smokes. Because you know what that tells me when I know that they're smoking? It tells me one thing. They're going to be taking a lot of breaks.
Yeah.
You know, now some people when they smoke, they can go the whole day at work without a cigarette, you know, and actually apply themselves to work. But let's face it, a lot of smokers are constantly taking breaks. And a lot of people who don't smoke, they just constantly need a break. Or how about this? I'm bored. People who are bored, they're impatient. It's not ADD, it's impatience. And the Bible tells us that with patience, we need to bring forth much fruit. He said that the patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit. The end of a thing is better than the beginning of it. And to get to the end, it's going to take patience. To get to the end of that long board game, you have to have the patience to stay with that game. You know, not that that's an important thing in life. I'm just using it as an illustration. Look, it's important to you, okay? No, it's not that important. But the bottom line is, I do think it's important to finish things. I like to just be in a habit of finishing. Because I noticed earlier in my life that in some cases I was not finishing things that I started. And I just noticed that about myself, that was a habit that was creeping in. That I would start things and not finish them. So then I just started to really try to train myself. To just, if I start something, I'm going to finish it. To the extreme, or literally, if I started singing a song out of the songbook, I would finish that song. And it sounds stupid, but I was just like, you know what? I just want to be a person that finishes. If I start singing this song, I'm going to sing the whole thing. I'm not going to sing a few lines and then switch to some other song. Because it's just a bad habit of just always switching and not staying on target. The secret to getting things done in your life is to pick one task and focus on it and get it done. I mean, whether you're at a factory, whether you're in the service business, whether you're installing a job, whether you're doing electrical work, you focus on one task and you get it done. And you have to have patience to do that for hours on end, that same task, and to stay with it and to work on it and get it. Same thing with Bible reading. If you're going to read your Bible for 1 hour straight, you got to have patience. You can't have ADD. You have to patiently sit and read the Bible and not say, oh, I'm bored after one chapter. Let's see what's on TV. And TV has brainwashed people to be like this. Because TV is constantly changing. Like, even if you're watching a TV show, like, I remember when I was a kid, you know, the soap operas would be on TV. Do people still watch soap operas today? Does it still exist as a genre? Does it exist?
Yeah.
Yeah, the daytime soap operas. And you know, one thing about these soap operas is I remember they would switch. There would be, like, four different stories going on at one time. Who knows what I'm talking about? There's like four totally separate stories going on. And it's only like a half hour show or an hour show, but you're constantly, you'll watch like 2 minutes of one story, and then it switches to like 2 minutes of another story. And a lot of movies are like that too. It'll be like 2 minutes of this, and then it switches to 2 minutes of this, and then it switches to 2 minutes of this, and then it's commercial. So you're just constantly changing. Instead of just focusing on one story and just seeing that story through to the end, you're just jumping around. And look at the commercials. How long are they? 10 seconds, 20 seconds, 30 seconds. And it's just this, and then this, and then switch to this, and then this, and then this. And it's a half hour of this, half hour of that. That's why people don't have the patience to come to church and listen to a sermon that's a long sermon. Because they get bored, and they can't stay on task and just sit down and listen to preaching for more than 15 or 20 minutes because they have ADD. No, it's being impatient. It's not being able to finish things. It's when you come to church, start out with me listening in the sermon, and then don't start fading throughout the sermon and thinking about where you're going to go out to lunch or something. You know, you're doing all your housework in your mind or something. Finish! Stay with it! Start the sermon and finish the sermon. Start the thought and finish the thought. Do the work that God has given you to do and finish it. If you start, you know, people start learning a foreign language, but they don't finish. Pretty easy to start learning a language. Yeah, hola, buenos dias. But you know what? It's really hard to finish. It's a lot of work, very difficult to finish that language. Pretty easy to start learning a new musical instrument, huh? But it's hard to finish. It's pretty easy to start learning anything, to start out on that exercise program. But to finish, that's another thing altogether. To start out learning some other skill, to learn to be an electrician or a plumber or a carpenter, it's really easy to start, but it's difficult to finish. And we as Christians need to be finishers, especially when it comes to the things of God. And you need to look at the work of God as a job that needs to be finished. Not just as a thing that we just, oh, we come to church and check it off every week that we came to church. No. We are workers. We're laborers. We are running a race. We are soldiers fighting a battle. And the war is not over. And the Bible says there is no discharge from this war. It says in the book of Ecclesiastes. We are in a fight. We're in a battle. And there are those who, they started fighting at the beginning, but then as soon as the battle gets tough, they start running away. And they're cowards. And they're running, and they won't stay in it until the end of the battle. They start running the race, and they don't finish. You know, there's no glory in losing a race. But let me tell you something. Only one person wins, right? I mean, if you run a race, there's only one winner, and there are many competitors. And not everyone's going to win. And it doesn't mean that those who lost, that they you know, completely failed. But you know what? At least they finished, right? But what about the guy who he loses, but he just walks off the field and he won't finish? Right? See, there are even people, you know, there are even athletes who've been injured in a race, and they limp across the finish line just to finish. You know, or maybe their trainer even has to help them. You know, you've seen like these track and field events where somebody gets hurt, and their trainer will help them limp across the finish line so that they can finish. Because they want to finish. Because there's glory in finishing. Now, the supreme glory, of course, is in winning. But if you don't win, at least you can finish. Because there's only one winner. And so the bottom line is that God is likening our lives to a race, to a battle, to a job of building a tower that needs to be completed. And he's demanding that we finish it. That we keep going. And there are people that are under the sound of my voice right now, as sure as I'm standing here, who will quit. It's a fact. There are people who are sitting in this auditorium right now that they will quit serving God someday. I hope not. But just statistically, I mean, just as experience has shown, just as history has it, there will be people that are listening to me right now that will quit. And they might even, and it might not even be the people that you think. It might even be the people that are the most zealous, the most on fire, running the hardest, sprinting the fastest. Because remember, some of those stony places people, they received the word with gladness. They were fired up. They shot right up. But wait a minute. They weren't in it for the long haul. And because of that, they're not going to accomplish anything. Because you can serve God with all of the intensity you want for 6 months, and the person who just keeps plugging away their whole life will get more done for God. It's like the old story of the tortoise and the hare. It's the same thing. Staying with it. Go, if you would, to James chapter 5. James chapter number 5. While you're turning there, I'll read you another scripture. 2 Timothy 4 says, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Do thy diligence to come shortly unto me, for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica, Crescens to Galatia, Titus unto Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with me, with thee, for he is profitable for me for the ministry." So Paul said, I finished the work. I fought a good fight. I finished my course, but he said, others quit. Titus, Crescens, and Demas, he said, they've all quit on me. Only Luke is the only one who has stayed with it and finished with me. At the beginning, there were many who went out, but there were only two who finished. And then, of course, Mark is brought up. He said, take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable for me for the ministry. He's one who had quit it previously. He's one who, when the times got tough, Paul and Barnabas and John Mark, Mark went home. He quit. But thank God he got back in the race. Because look, you say, well, what if I've already quit? Then you get back in.
Amen.
And Paul here is talking about quitters. And he's calling out these guys for quit. Demas is a quitter. Crescens is a quitter. Titus is a quitter. He said, correct. Not Crescens is a quitter, but Crescens is a quitter. There we go. Say that 10 times fast. He's calling out these quitters, and he says these guys are all quitting. He said, praise God for Luke. He's still with me. He hasn't quit. He said, at my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. But he said, you know what? Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable for me for the ministry. So he's able to forgive the guy who quit in the past. Mark had quit, but now Paul has forgiven him. So the bottom line is, if you have quit, then it's time to start back up again. It's time to re-enlist. It's time to get back in. Let's say you started reading your Bible cover to cover and you quit. Well, then it's time to get back in. Be a John Mark who's going to be profitable for the ministry. Because even though you quit in the past, you're going to start up again, and this time you're not going to quit. This time you're going to go all the way through. And don't keep starting in Genesis 1 either. You know, just start where you left off, for crying out loud. You know, how many people just keep, I always tell that to people. People always say, you know, I'm going to read the whole thing. And I'm starting in, you know, Matthew chapter 1, I'm going to read the whole New Testament. I'm like, wait a minute, how many times have you started this before? Several. Didn't you get to Luke or something? You know, why don't you just start in Luke instead of just keep reading Matthew and Mark over and over again? You know, maybe you'll get further this time if you start where you left off. So pick up where you left off in that Bible reading and finish it. And I'm not going to ask for a raise of hands today, but you know who you are if you have read the whole thing cover to cover, and who hasn't. And if you haven't, you need to. If you've been saved for, and this is what my pastor used to say in Sacramento, if you've been saved for a year or more and you haven't read the Bible cover to cover, he said, you're backslidden. He said, you are not right with God. You need to read your Bible and catch that up. So if you haven't read the whole thing cover to cover, that means you started it. I'm sure you've read something. But did you finish it? Did you finish the book? Or did you just start it? You started out soul winning. You started out learning how to go soul winning. Finish it. Become a soul winner. Become the one who brings forth much fruit. Don't become unfruitful. But I had to turn to James chapter 5. It says in James chapter 5 verse 10, "Take, my brethren, the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering, affliction, and of what?
Patience.
Behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy." The Bible says that endurance is what's going to make you happy. You want to be happy in life? Finish what you start. It'll make you in every area of life, it'll make you a happier person if you finish things that you start. He said, we count them happy which endure. Those who are patient are happy. The impatient person is not happy. The ADD person, the person who's always jumping around from this to that and the other and they can't finish things, that person's not going to be happy. But the person who can home in on something and actually plow that field and get that job done is going to be a happier person. The Bible says in Hebrews 11:27, by faith, this is Moses, by faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Endurance. He said in 2 Timothy 2:3, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Stay in it when it's hard, when there's opposition, when it's getting boring, quote unquote. Now, somebody help me out. Is the word boring in the Bible? Where does the Bible talk about being bored? Where did Jesus say, I'm bored? Where did the apostles say, God, Lord, what do when we get bored? But yet, isn't that just such a part of our culture and our lives that we just always think about things being boring and not boring and boredom? You know, it just says something about your character. You know, and obviously we're all going to become bored at some point. But when you're just constantly bored, I'm bored, this is boring, church is boring, reading the Bible is boring. There's nothing wrong with church and there's nothing wrong with the Bible. There's something wrong with you. Because you're the one who doesn't have the attention span. You're the one who doesn't have the patience to endure preaching, to endure Bible reading. And it's amazing how the same people who think that the preaching is too long are the same people who will go and sit in front of a movie for 2 hours. Or they'll sit at a sporting event for 4 hours. And they're not bored at all. So their problem is with you. The Bible's not a boring book. The Bible's a very interesting book. You say, well, you know, Leviticus is boring. No, it's not boring. I was flipping through the channels on my XM radio. This sermon was brought to you in part by XM radio. But I was driving down the road, and I have an XM satellite radio because I do a ton of driving. I'll drive for thousands of miles, literally. In the last several days, I've driven about 2,000 miles, literally. And as I'm driving down the road, I sometimes turn on, I have the Bible on CD, and I also turn on the XM radio and listen to C-SPAN, which is like a news, you know, you can listen to the Congress and the Senate. It's not like a ranting and raving news. It's like you just actually hear the actual speeches, and it's just kind of the raw information. You just kind of make your own decision about it because you just listen in to the Congress and everything. And you know, I was listening to it, and I was listening to one of the congressmen or whoever was speaking on the floor of the House or the Senate or whatever it was, and he's speaking, and he was criticizing a certain piece of legislation. And he said something about how it was about as tedious and it was about as tedious as the book of Leviticus. Or, you know, he was saying it was just so monotonous and repetitive or something. And he criticized the book of Leviticus. And it made me mad. And I said, you know what? I'm going to quit listening to you right now, and I'm going to pull out my CD right now of the book of Leviticus, and I'm going to listen to the book of Leviticus right now, because I think the book of Leviticus is more interesting than you right now. Because you know what? The book of Leviticus is a really interesting book to those who have taken the time to not start reading Leviticus, but to finish reading Leviticus. And then to finish the whole Bible, and then to understand Leviticus, and to read it for the second time, the third time. And I'll be honest with you, the first time I read through Leviticus, I bailed. I bailed partway through. You know, because I was going to read my Bible cover to cover. I was a child. I don't remember exactly how old I was, maybe 11. And I was going to read the Bible cover to cover over a summer in 3 months. And I had it all laid out. It was like, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus. And I was like, oh man. And I got about 3 days behind. And it was like, I had like 45, because I had to do 15 chapters a day to get it done in 3 months. So I was doing my 15 chapters. But then I got to Leviticus, and I got a little behind. So then it was like, okay, I have to read 45 chapters today. And they're all in Leviticus and Numbers. And it's just, you know, what I should have done if I was smart I would have just pushed back the deadline 3 days of when I was going to finish and just kept reading my 15 chapters. But I just looked at that and just said, I can't read these 45 chapters. You know, but I was immature. I was a child, so I just quit. I failed. And you know, the next time I read through Leviticus, it was heavy plowing. It was difficult to get through it. But I was a child. And I went through it the third time. I went through it the fourth time. Fifth, 10th, 15th, 20th. And let me tell you something. Now the book of Leviticus is interesting because I'll tell you right now, it gets more interesting every time you read it. Anybody who's read the book of Leviticus knows that the first time it wasn't very interesting. Second time it was a little more interesting. Third time it was a little more. That's how the Bible is. The more you read it, the better it gets. The more you understand it, the more interesting it becomes. It makes sense to you. You know, that idiot that's mocking the book of Leviticus. Okay, he's just too foolish to understand, probably not even saved, so he can't understand the Word of God. So it's foolishness unto him. But unto us which are saved, the Word of God is the power of God. And so we understand it, we believe it. Grow up spiritually to the point where you don't find anything in the Bible boring, to where you find the world boring, to where Hollywood's boring, because everything is a sequel, and everything's a remake, and there's no new thing under the sun, and to where life of the world becomes boring, and where this book becomes the most interesting thing to you. It's called maturity. It's called patience. It's called endurance. It's called growing up. It's called being steadfast and unmovable. That's where we ought to be as believers, and we ought to start this thing and finish it. Start the Bible reading and finish it. Start everything and finish it. Did I have you turn anywhere else? 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Let's go there and finish this. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. I don't want to stop my sermon until I'm finished, because that would be ironic if I were preaching a sermon about finishing and then I just... I think I'm just going to end this sermon early. I'm not going to finish it. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. It says in verse 5, "And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord, and unto us by the will of God." So these are people who really offered themselves to God. And the Bible says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice unto God, holy, acceptable unto God, which is a reasonable service." We're supposed to present ourselves to Him and to offer ourselves as His laborers, His workers. And it says that that's what these people did. In verse 6 it says, "And so much that we desired Titus, that as he had begun, so he would also finish in you the same grace also." He says, "I'm glad that you've offered yourself to the Lord." But he's saying, "I want you to finish." And every single person who's under the sound of my voice right now should decide right now, I am going to be a finisher. Maybe I'm not going to be the best. Maybe I'm not the most talented. Maybe I'm not the greatest preacher who ever lived. Maybe I'm not the greatest Christian who ever lived. But I can endure. I don't have to quit. I can be a finisher and at least finish the work that God gave me to do. And you know what? If you finish that work, God will give you that crown of righteousness that He promised to those who finish. Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Father, we thank You so much for Your Word. And we thank You for an exciting book that we have that can help us understand all the mysteries of the universe, of life, of the things of God. Just please, Father, help us to finish things. Help us to finish our Bibles if we haven't already. Help us to finish out the race of the Christian life. Help us not to fade and become a has-been and to start coming to church less and soul-winning less and reading the Bible less. Help us to do more and more and to abound and increase more and more as we see the day approaching. And in Jesus' name we pray, amen.